This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Yes, indeed. We've seen protests also happening in many other towns across the country. There has been protests in Mombasa, which is the coastal city of Mombasa. We've also seen protesters in western part of Kenya, Kisumu, towns of Migori. There were reports that some protesters were shot, but those reports are yet to be confirmed.
That was reporter Ruben Chama on the latest from Nairobi. Details coming up also. Young adults are leading the demonstrations in Kenya. And President Biden and former President Trump will be meeting on a debate stage tonight. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. Kenyan police today have been clashing with protesters in Nairobi as they return to the streets to oppose a contentious finance bill. Some protesters say they also want to honor the dead when police fired on crowds on Tuesday when they stormed Parliament and set part of the complex on fire. The protests today come even though President William Ruto has said he would sign the finance legislation, which would have imposed several new taxes. He also said he wanted to confer with the activists and community leaders to find ways to address the country's economic situation and high debt load. Protesters today wanted to march to the State House because they do not trust Ruto. Police have fired tear gas and used water cannon to block them. Unlike previous demonstrations in Kenya called by political figures and often mobilized on the basis of ethnicity, the current protests have appealed broadly to those weary of rising living costs and endemic corruption. That means it is not clear how far young protesters will be mollified by Ruto's decision to withdraw the finance bill. For the latest, I talked with reporter Ruben Chama in Nairobi.
In the capital of Nairobi here, police have been trying to repulse groups of protesters who've been trying to make their way to the city center to continue with the protest. In Nairobi, generally, there is very heavy police presence. A lot of the protesters who have been trying to make their way to the Nairobi's business district have been blocked because many of the route, access routes have actually been blocked by anti-riot police. So the situation in the city is that the military has also been patrolling the streets of the city center, although there haven't been any skirmishes with the military. But we have seen quite a number of police lobbing tear gas canisters to small groups of protesters who've been trying to make their way to the city center. I should also add that all the entrances to the State House are blocked by heavy police presence. So it's really difficult any protesters will manage to go that route.
And Ruben, hundreds of protesters are also, according to reports, are gathering in the port city of Mombasa and in the western city of Kisumu. It's not only Nairobi.
Yes, indeed. We've seen protests also happening in many other towns across the country. There has been protests in Mombasa, which is the coastal city of Mombasa. We've also seen protesters in western part of Kenya, Kisumu. Towns of Migori, there were reports that some protesters were shot, but those reports are yet to be confirmed. So the protests seem to be happening not only in Nairobi, but also in many parts of the country. But I have to say that since the president yesterday announced that he had decided to reject the contentious legislation, we've seen a bit of turn down. Some of the protesters have already been taking to their social media platforms and saying that they are open for discussion, and some have already said that they are not going to take part in today's demonstration. So I guess that's why we are not seeing a heavy presence of protesters in the capital. Ruto is grappling with the most serious crisis of his two-year-old presidency as the youth-led protest movement has grown rapidly from online condemnations of the tax hikes into mass rallies demanding a political overhaul.
Yes, definitely. I think these kind of protests, I would say they have been unprecedented because, one, it is a group of young people called the Gen Zs who've been calling out politicians and also demanding accountability from the government. And it remains to be seen what the president will do moving forward. Yesterday, he mentioned in the speech that he's willing to engage with the young people, and also he announced that he would like to see a kind of a multi-stakeholders discussion opened. So I guess these demonstrators have really put the administration on its toes. So we wait to see probably what are the next steps moving forward.
As far as the casualties are concerned, what are the numbers so far?
The number of deaths stand at 23, but also several hundred have been wounded in this protest.
That was Ruben Chama talking to me from Nairobi. Reporter James Shimanyula has been speaking with people in Nairobi about the protests and what's been happening in Kenya over the past few days. Isaac Gutu is one of the protesters.
The protests today are continuing because of the extrajudicial killing that happened during our Tuesday peaceful protest. Nine of our members who are peacefully demonstrating lost their lives. So today, people are dressing in white in solidarity with the families of the ones who lost their friends and brothers and sisters. The main aim is to go to State House. We are peaceful because we are not armed in any way. We are just dressed in white and handkerchief, and we have our flag resembling peace.
Kizia Waititu sells eggs, chickens, and cereals. She thinks the protesters should be patient and not protest right now.
Young people should stop protesting and wait for the bill to be defeated. We are not in good state because everybody is even fearing and wondering what is going to happen next. Because when the military are in town, it doesn't look good because military come when there is big problem.
Business person Kambomba Wambua is concerned about how the protests will affect other people.
I think the best thing is for the people to stop that thing with immediate effect, because if they demonstrate, odd people like me will be affected. They demand their rights, but that will take time.
For more on the protests and political developments in Kenya, please check out voaafrica.com. The demonstrations in Kenya have been led by young adults who say they are seeking better governance amid calls for President William Ruto to step down. VOA's Mike Hove has more.
Ruto must go! Ruto must go!
The demonstrations were part of a series of protests led by Kenyan youth who initially flooded the streets of the East African nation to speak out against tax hikes that were championed by government but rejected by President William Ruto on Wednesday. Ivy Wangui is one of the protesters who took to the streets of Kenya's capital to speak against the tax hikes and bad governance. She says Kenyan youth feel betrayed by Ruto.
Honestly, the lies that he fed us, unfortunately, I'm going to call them the lies that he fed us when he was campaigning to be president. It's now coming to light, especially now when we are going to the streets. You know, he told us about a hustler fund. He promised jobs. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing that happening.
Ruto addressed Kenyan youth on the evening after Tuesday's deadly protest.
People of Kenya, who I must thank for helping our country organize our democratic discourse around issues. I thank you and assure you.
The Kenyan president gave another address on Wednesday where he said he would not be signing the bill and called on demonstrators to peacefully engage his government.
And I am therefore proposing that because we have gotten rid of the Finance Bill 2024, it is necessary for us to have a conversation as a nation going forward.
Despite Ruto's address, youth like Wangui and others who protested on Thursday say they do not trust the president.
First and foremost, everyone in Kenya is basically saying that speech is just to gaslight us. That speech is just to manage us right now. What it means for us is, at least first and foremost, number one, for him to have withdrawn it and not rejected the finance bill, it means that he had us. We did not go to the streets for nothing. People did not lose their lives for nothing. You know, we're just going to continue fighting for what's right.
Influential figures and opposition leaders across Africa, including South Africa's Julius Malema, took to social media to express solidarity with their Kenyan counterparts. They applaud young people from the East African nation for their usage of social media to organize protests, which is centered on pushing authorities to prioritize policies which are friendly towards the youth, the poor, and the unemployed. Mike Ove, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. I'm Yehius Wuhib in Washington. Please note we have moved our programs from voanews.com to voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. Find us on voaafrica.com.
Hi, I'm Carol Van Dam. Join VOA Africa for live coverage of the CNN U.S. presidential debate. It's the first in-person showdown between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump this campaign season. There's new rules since the last time the two candidates squared off 4 years ago. Stay tuned for highlights afterwards with political analysts from George Washington and Georgetown Universities and VOA reporter Carolyn Pursuti. Debate coverage starts at 0030 UTC.
U.S. presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump face off in their first debate of this election cycle tonight. From Atlanta, VOA's Kala Yu tells us what to expect at the CNN presidential debate.
Joe Biden entered their first debate of this campaign with each telling voters that electing their opponent would be catastrophic. Trump says Biden is ruining the country.
Inflation is raging, crime is out of control. Europe is in chaos, the Middle East is exploding, Iran is emboldened, China is on the march, and this horrible, horrible president is dragging us toward World War III.
Biden says Trump would take the country backwards.
All progress, all freedom, all opportunities at risk. Trump is trying to make the country forget just how dark and unsettling things were when he was president. But we'll never forget.
Public opinion polling shows this is a close race, raising the stakes for this debate, says Northeastern University journalism professor Alan Schroeder.
I think that puts sort of equal pressure on both of the candidates, both in terms of the opportunity the debate presents to them, but also the risks.
This debate is unique in featuring both a sitting president and a former president, says University of Pennsylvania communications professor Kathleen Hall Jamieson.
So the public is more knowledgeable about both of these candidates as individuals, more likely to know about their temperament, their habits of mind, their disposition. But this year, because of the age of both, there is a need, even if you think you know a lot about both of the candidates, and you're more likely to this year, for you to be able to say, are they mentally acute enough to be president of the United States and mentally stable enough to be president of the United States?
Political debates are about message and moments, says political analyst Brett O'Donnell.
You've got to drive a message consistently across the debate, but then you want to have a couple of moments in the debate that are the shiny object, so to speak, that the press will pay attention to and that allow you to exercise competitive advantage.
This will be the earliest presidential debate in U.S. history, with neither Trump nor Biden officially nominated as his party's candidate. There will be no opening statements Thursday night. Both candidates will have their microphones muted when it's not their turn to speak. Kala Yu, VOA News, Atlanta.
VOA's correspondent Carolyn Prasuti has been covering the preparations for the CNN presidential debate tonight and the election campaign. She joins me now in the studio to talk about what we can expect tonight. Carolyn, welcome to Africa News Tonight.
Thank you so much, Ihaeus. It's good to be here.
So, Carol, can you share with our audience, our African audience, a little background regarding the tradition of debates and the U.S. presidential elections?
It certainly is a tradition to have debates. Right? I mean, it gives the voter the opportunity to certainly hear both candidates in their own words, and it's impromptu. They don't know the questions beforehand. Well, this one will be unique on so many levels. I mean, the first televised debate was in 1960, and we've never had a former president and a current president debating. And also, just the fact that, especially for your listeners on radio, you know, this debate is really made for radio because we've never had those kind of men before speaking to us, and also without an audience. So you can hear what they are saying, and you can concentrate on what they are saying without being distracted by an audience. Or for your radio viewers, you know, you're not going to be distracted by hair or a tie or whatever's out of place. And these polls are so close between these two men. This debate could be what jolts this election and gets some undecided voters on either side.
And this is not the first time Trump and Biden have debated. They've clashed in 2020. However, tonight's CNN presidential debate has a slightly different format. Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. So with no audience, it is totally different. I think both men kind of get more energy from the audience and the clapping and the cheering, nothing. And they will also have their microphone muted when they aren't talking or when a question isn't directed to them. So let's see if they can handle that, because honestly, in 2020, it was chaos. They were trying to talk over top of each other, and that was the news out of the first debate, not policy, not, you know, something tangent. You know, it was about how they argued together and how they had discord. And so tonight we hope to hear more of their policy differences. So putting them in the same room, talking about different policy issues, will certainly give the voters a little bit more information than they're seeing at the individual rallies of these two men.
So talk to us a little about some of the key topics that the debate audience should be listening for.
Immigration will be a big one. President Biden is taking a hit for his immigration policies, but just yesterday he got a boost when Mayorkas said, oh, the numbers are down from the arrests at the border, and this is due to President Biden's asylum numbers that set a limit. So that will kind of give him a boost. But of course, former President Trump has always said the borders are wide open. There are criminals in this country. We are letting people across the border that shouldn't be there. So that will be the interaction between the two of them. They will each accuse each other of not having a good immigration policy. And in essence, we know it's left up to Congress more than the president. The president can lead Congress there. But in the end, it is left up to Congress.
VOA's Carolyn Prasuti, thank you for your input.
Absolutely.
Tonight.
Hi, I'm Carol Van Dam. Join VOA Africa for live coverage of the CNN U.S. presidential debate. It's the first in-person showdown between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump this campaign season. There's new rules since the last time the two candidates squared off 4 years ago. Stay tuned for highlights afterwards with political analysts from George Washington and Georgetown Universities and VOA reporter Carolyn Prasuti. Debate coverage starts at 0030 UTC.
The U.S. Africa Command head says Africa's military leaders are concerned about the misinformation and disinformation campaign Russia is waging to increase its military presence on the continent. Langley says the concerns emerged during a two-day Africa Chiefs of Defense conference in Habrone. From Habrone, Botswana, reporter Mokondisi Dube has the details.
U.S. Marine Corps General Michael Langley Thursday said he and 32 defense leaders from around the continent have been sharing perspectives on a range of issues.
I just want to say this, it was a very outstanding and informative event. The gained insights and shared will be shared with us all as we address some of the challenges, but also opportunities on the African continent. Everybody had input. So it will greatly enhance overall regional and continental security across Africa.
Largely, the head of the United States Africa Command, or AFRICOM, was speaking to journalists at the end of the U.S.-Africa Defense Conference in Gaborone. He said African defense officials expressed concern about the impact of Russia's misinformation and disinformation campaign. Russia has exploited conflicts, particularly in West Africa, to spread its influence on the continent.
That was one of the challenges that was illuminated and amplified throughout the conference, of misinformation and disinformation campaigns and the influence those campaigns have from the Russian Federation on African countries. Yes, so that was just not AFRICOM's assessment or U.S. government's assessment. This was assessment across from South Africa to North Africa, in East and West, across every region. They spoke to that. That the effects of instability of disinformation campaigns in their respective countries. So yes, it was pretty consistent.
Langley says there is a need for the U.S. and its African partners to build a strategy to counter Russia's efforts.
These countries talked about it. They discussed it. They discussed how adaptation needs to be in place in the information space. Across their domains so that they can be very resilient against misinformation and disinformation campaigns with their own effective information campaigns that puts out the truth.
In March, Langley told U.S. lawmakers that Russia's lies had led to the withdrawal of American troops from Niger. He says misinformation and disinformation campaigns have exacerbated conflict, which is why the strategy must be countered.
There's a strong link between the scope of disinformation and instability. That's the truth. So getting the truth out there to counter disinformation is essential. According to the African Center of Strategic Studies, disinformation campaigns have directly driven deadly violence, promoted and validated military coups, and also cowed civil society members into silence.
For now, Langley says the U.S. is focused on fighting terror more than looking for an alternative base after the end of the Niger mission. The continent is battling rapid encroachment from violent Islamist extremist groups in the sub-Saharan region. For VOA, this is Mqondisi Dube in Gaborone, Botswana.
International experts portrayed a grim picture for war-torn Sudan, warning in a report today that 755,000 people face famine in the coming months. The latest findings come from the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, which includes United Nations agencies, aid groups, governments, and other bodies. The report said 8.5 million people face extreme food shortages after 14 months of conflict in Sudan. Overall, 25.6 million people, more than half of the country's population, face crisis or worse conditions. The report warns about the risk of famine in 14 areas if the conflict escalates further. The country descended into chaos in April last year when tensions between the country's military, led by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and a paramilitary group, the Rapid Support Forces commander, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, exploded into open fighting.
Hi, I'm Carol Van Dam. Join VOA Africa for live coverage of the CNN U.S. presidential debate. It's the first in-person showdown between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump this campaign season. There's new rules since the last time the two candidates squared off 4 years ago. Stay tuned for highlights afterwards with political analysts from George Washington and Georgetown Universities and VOA reporter Carolyn Pursuti. Debate coverage starts at 0030 UTC.
VOA Africa has a wide variety of programs for you. News, lifestyle, health, politics, youth, women, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, television, and the internet on voaafrica.com.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.